This is the second plenary session, a panel on solar system exploration technology for future missions. There are four panelists. Each will have between 5 and 10 minutes for their presentation, so that there will be time at the end of the four presentations for questions and answers. Now, technology has always been an enabling factor in solar system exploration right from the very beginning. What's changed is the nature of the technical challenge. I'd like to sort of talk about three eras of solar system exploration, and not that these eras are distinct in the sense that they can occur in parallel with each other, but the first era, the technical challenge was just getting there, building spacecraft that would live long enough to get to another planet, that would have enough data rate to send any reasonable science information back. And that was sort of the 1960s. That quickly moved into the second era, where the technical challenge was finding out what was out there, sending very complex, sophisticated missions with enough capability to find whatever was there so that we knew what the most important scientific issues were that we could address. That gave us the basis, and of course the missions that such missions as Cassini, which was just launched a year ago, is a wonderful example of that era of exploration. And then the third era, the technical challenges are different again. Now that we know what's out there, now the technical challenge is getting there often, more than once a decade or every 2 decades, but getting there as often as we'd like, and getting back. Those are the technical challenges that we're facing now as we look to a third era of exploration. And what we'll hear this morning are some of the plans that the various agencies have for continuing the exploration of the solar system. So the first presentation this morning is by Professor Galeev, director of the Space Research Institute in Moscow. Professor Galeev.
Okay, so in the Russian space program, we have left with one future mission, that is Phobos sample return. And here in the slide, there is we can see the descent model. Then we have takeoff rocket. Here the propulsion model and electric propulsion model for here. And total mass is about 1,080 kilogram. We had already quite an experience with the problems of Phobos. Landing on Phobos, trying to land on Phobos in 1988. And we executed almost to the end, and only due to technical reason, malfunction of some elements of the control system, prevented us to do all this job. Presently, we are the best option for the implementing this mission is shown here. That is start from the Earth, deployment of electric propulsion models, then Earth-Mars transfer, separation of electric propulsion model, and here insertion into the Mars orbit. The other option was with winding along the orbits with electric propulsion model, much more safely when we go just to this orbit without electric propulsion model. I think I wouldn't take more time here because I have already shown the mass budget, also how we do all the insertion into the Mars. The basic, why we insist on the Phobos sample return, that is basically we still do not know What is the material made of the Phobos? There are a lot of discussions whether it could be captured, whether it is similar to the asteroid belts, or where it comes. So basically, we need to land on Phobos and take the material in order to tell definitely what is that material made. Thank you.
Second panel member is Professor Usugi from the from ISAS in Japan.
Okay, I'd like to explain very briefly about the ISAS Solar System Exploration Plan. And right now, they launched the Japan's first explorer to the Mars on July 4th. Its name is Planet B, or after the launch, it was renamed as Nozomi, which means a hope. And then after that, we will launch another lunar mission called Luna A, which will have two penetrators onto the moon's surface to measure the heat flow just under the surface of the moon. And also, by the seismometer, the moon quake will be detected and to know the structure of inside of the moon. And then we have another mission to the asteroid, which is called MUSES-C mission. MUSES stands for the spacecraft, space engineering spacecraft launched by MU launch vehicle. So it's not a pure science mission, but a technology demonstrator for the asteroid sample return and other technology to be developed in the future. And this spacecraft will be launched in the 2002, and it will return to the Earth in 2006. And also, we have another joint program with NASA, which is the other science space agency in Japan. And this Selene mission is going to the moon again, and which will be launched 2003 by NASA's H2A rocket. So I will very briefly explain about some missions. So the Planet B was launched July 4th in this year, and right now the spacecraft is flying around the moon and Earth. And just 5 days before, September 24th, the spacecraft conducted the first moon swing by very successfully. And then another 3 months, the spacecraft is flying around Earth. And finally, the December 18th, the second lunar swing by will be done. And after 2 days, 2 days after, the spacecraft will escape from the Earth to the Mars. And the Planet B will arrive at Mars in October next year. So as I said, it's the first Japanese Mars orbiter mission. And its major thing to be done will be a Martian aeronomy measurement. Okay, and the cost of the Planet B is something like that. Right now, the dollar-yen rate is very much changed. So the total cost of Planet B is about $140 million, including launch vehicles and the mission operation. Okay, just briefly about the another mission for the so-called MUSES-C. It's a very challenging mission to demonstrate that to technology required for the future interplanetary mission, such as the solar electrical propulsion as a primary means in the interplanetary field, or the autonomous optical navigation and terminal proximity guidance, and the surface sample collection mechanism and technique will be demonstrated, and also the direct capsule reentry from interplanetary trajectory for sample recovery at very, very high speed. So it's time to stop my presentation. So the we are now many challenging missions to be done in future.
The third panel member is Dr. Peter Vansel. He's the head of the Solar System Division at ESA-ESTEC.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. solar system exploration plays a very important part of ESA's future space science program, Horizon 2000. This is a scientifically exciting, technological, very challenging, and quite diversified program. The missions that you see on this graph are either the first one, Cassini-Huygens, where ESA developed the Huygens probe that will enter the Titan atmosphere in the year 2004. This is well on the way to explore the mysterious world of Titan, which is believed to be an atmosphere comparable to the one of Earth before life started. Now, in the vein that Dr. Stone introduced in the beginning, technology challenging, doing things in a different way, ESA has taken up that challenge and is beginning to develop a program which is called Small Missions for Advanced Research and Technology. And the Smart One mission, to be launched in 2001, will be the first in that program. The emphasis is here to fly innovative technology that has applications for future bigger and more ambitious missions. Being part of the science program, it has a science aim, so it will most likely go to the moon. Another challenge we all have is to in order to cut the cost, stay within the unfortunately reducing financial envelope, is to limit the time to develop instruments and missions. And Mars Express, which is to be approved in November of this year, is an example of that kind. It is Mars Orbiter and will complement the Japanese mission, which is more tailored to aeronomy, as you just heard, and the very ambitious and extended NASA program. So this will focus on the global high-resolution observation in imaging, photogeology, and to map with high-resolution mineralogy globally over the planet, in addition with a subsurface radar search for water in form of permafrost, so in the upper layer of Mars. Water has been on Mars. We don't know where it is. Possibly also going for exobiology, something possibly having a lander. That is still open. In beginning of 2003, a very ambitious program was the Rosetta mission to become the first mission to rendezvous with a comet, stay with a comet for a longer period of time whilst the comet is starting up its activity, getting closer to the sun, and studying all the phenomena. Scientifically, driving cometary material is believed to be one of the oldest material left over from the origin of the formation of the solar system, and studying that in great detail. Now, when the mission was initially, the mission was supposed to be a sample return mission, but when this was studied and decisions taken several years ago, we came to the conclusion, in absence of a major other partner, that we could not do that. So this is a instrument including a lander. And then further into the future, probably a mission to Mercury. In addition, in solar system operation, as I'd say that on the astronomy side, we are studying an infrared space interferometer that would search for extra planets in other solar systems outside our own one, and would involve space interferometry of some sort in the infrared range. That falls into the same category as Mercury orbiter to be decided at some later stage. So just very quickly on technology, this is the concept of the Smart One spacecraft, and the prime technology to be flight tested and demonstrated is solar electric propulsion. Electric propulsion generated by solar energy used as the main propulsion system. So the new technology on Smart One includes this as a prime driver. We'll take it from the geostationary transfer orbit, achieved by an Ariane piggyback launch to the moon and then in orbit around the moon. The other technology listed here, also a new type of solar solid-state memory. And then it being in the science program, it will also fly instrumentation that is tailored, its new development, miniaturized, or tested for future application. And there is a pre-selection of instrumentation with mini cameras, mini infrared spectral imaging for mineralogy, testing of the plasma environment in the presence of an ion engine, but also some astronomy instrumentation, which is to detect, to map galactic molecular oxygen, which is instrumentation for another astronomy cornerstone, the first Planck mission. And then to conclude, well, this is the concept of Mars Express, being in a in an orbit around Mars, launched in 2003, which will pick up a number of instruments that were developed in Western Europe, together with our Russian colleagues, for the Mars 96 mission. And this is the high-resolution global imaging and the mineralogy. And here is the new type of subsurface sounding radar for the search of water. So that is the program. And here, towards the end of the next decade, the concept of the Rosetta spacecraft orbiting the tiny nucleus of comet Virtanen, and then with the lander developed by a number of European institutions, actually landing on the comet and measure in situ physical and chemical parameters of this old pristine material in our solar system. So that completes my summary.